Okay, so for Desert Storm, I have a few questions about
Sure.
what it was like over there, and then a few for coming home as well. So my main question was, so you said you were when in Vietnam, you had base life pretty much. When you were in Desert Storm, what were you basically doing over there on the daily basis?
Okay, so at the time I was in Vietnam, got out, and like I said, I was out for a while, went back into base supply. My job in Desert Storm was a supply, what they called a MICAP specialist. That's mission capable. When an aircraft goes down, your job is to order that part and get it to the aircraft maintenance guys to repair the plane ASAP. Okay? That was my job. Now, what happened to me is our unit, the 128th Air Refueling, that's who I was stationed with, are tankers. Okay? You know what a tanker is? That's our air refueling aircraft. It's a converted 707, which probably doesn't have much more lifetime. I know they're trying to change them over, but that's what they have right now. They have the tankers are a converted 707 Boeing aircraft with 100,000 gallons of JP4 down below that you sit on when you travel with that aircraft. So when I went over there, I first went actually to Spain. In Spain, and at Seville is a Air Force depot, repair depot. And at that repair depot, all heavy aircraft. A heavy aircraft is a bomber, a tanker, and anything that is what they call heavies, they do not put them in a theater of war. I don't know if you knew that. Even the buffs during Vietnam were stationed at Anderson Air Force Base in Guam. They did not have them in theater. They do not bring heavies into theater. They're always away from the theater because they're a very expensive asset, and they're more capable of, doing the mission. That's why the Air Force is so powerful with the refuelers, because you can refuel in there and keep the battle going. That's what the refuelers do. But remember, we were global reach, so now we were part of the integrated. I left the wing and actually was detached with the arm with the regulars in Spain. Then we went to Egypt, and then I ended up coming home because Desert Shield was the first phase of Desert Storm. Okay, so what happened was we kept threatening him and threatening Hassan. You better not do this. You better not do this. And then he invades Kuwait, and then all hell just broke loose, and we had all of our assets ready to go. Well, after Spain, I went back home, and then I got retasked to go to Fairford Air Force Base in England. That was really nice for a wartime situation. You couldn't beat it. I mean, we were right outside of Oxford, and London was right down. I mean, it was beautiful, and I got to go there a couple times. The war was so much different. I watched more of the war on TV than I did anything else, to be honest with you. Desert Storm was different. It was over before we started. We had, I bet you, in the time frame that I was in England, I had probably gotten about 15,000 parts to repair the aircraft to keep the war situation going. And it was over before it began. It was unbelievable. I mean, totally unreal compared to the experience. And when I came home, parades, honor, and integrity. The bond between the soldiers and the military had solidified. And the country basically was, I'd say, behind the war, more or less than what happened in Vietnam. We were getting letters from grade school kids thanking us for our service. I mean, it was quite rewarding inside, believe me. And I enjoyed the job I was doing. It was much more interesting. I got to engage at a different level because of my job, because I was the NCOIC of the section. So I had to do all the briefings to the wing commanders and the commanders of the status of all the parts coming in to support the mission. Because if those parts didn't come in, that buff wasn't going to go anywhere until that part came in.
So in the last 6 years of, you worked in logistics, correct?
Correct.
Could you describe that?
Okay, when you're in the logistics, you're actually at a war readiness standing. I worked for the wing commander. My main purpose was for the readiness of the entire wing. I did evaluations. I worked with sophisticated logmod computers, which actually did war planning. I dealt with top secret, secret, and classified information. I worked in a vault, and when we left, we got people, our description of our job was getting people out of Dodge and bringing them back. As simple as that is, it's a lot more sophisticated than you think, because all the systems I were using were classified systems. So I had to have, you know, a top secret. When I was actually in Kuwait, and I had been, by the way, I'd been to Kuwait several times on Operation Southern Watch and Northern Watch. That was a time when we were stopping Saddam from bombing, other people, because he was doing that between the wars. And he was told to stop it. He didn't stop it. So Operation Southern Watch was more or less in Kuwait, Saudi, and Operation Northern Watch was in Turkey. I spent some time in both places. So I was well familiarized with Kuwait by the time I went to the Iraqi war. But my main job was probably one of the most sophisticated, rewarding jobs in my life. It was total Tom. It was total picture of what I wanted to be. Making decisions, planning, exercising, war plans, sitting down and saying, this is plan A, you need 7 planes, you need 500 people, mix them together, get them there at that point in time. That was my job. I had to get the plane loaded, get all the orders for the people, give a status on their readiness. In other words, I would come in and do an evaluation of the units that were being detached or deployed for the purpose.
Towards the end of your tenure, you did some behind the scenes type things with fundraising. Could you describe what the fundraising was for and why that maybe was your...
What I was doing, I was the Southeastern Wisconsin coordinator for the government fundraising program called the Combined Federal Combination of what they call the CFC. And it's the only one time of the year that people can come in and solicit to federal employees for fundraising. What we did was we worked with the United Way, and we had fundraising through the United Way collecting the money for us and going out and soliciting funds from federal employees. I did speeches, went in, worked logistics with all the coordinators, did the training, we did the bylaws, we actually did the review of the... Because each organization that wanted to come into this fundraiser had to actually apply. So we handled that. I mean, we literally touched a lot of things. When I first started, there were about 5 counties within southeastern Wisconsin. I became the coordinator to actually add on 15 more counties. And now it's almost a state. Almost a whole state fundraiser. So in the years I was in there, just going to, and I got to visit different shelters, different projects that the people wanted to give their money to. I did a lot of training. I did a lot of traveling. And just the inside feeling that it gave me, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, that solidified for me my belief in my God and my Christianity. It just made me feel like a real human being.